Welcome to the newest episode of Family by Law with Brian Aldridge. Today, myself and permanent co-host Carlina discuss weight loss, fat shaming, working out, things like that. We play a nice game at the end. It's fun times. We talk about fat shaming, pro and against. No, it's all against. And I hope you enjoyed this episode. We really put a lot into it. Thanks. Welcome to Family by Law with Brian Aldridge, 20th episode. We're on, this is the last one of March probably, right?
Yeah.
And I just had a good week. I did five good shows at Side Splitters, Wesley Chapel.
Great shows.
Glad people came out. We had fun. The wrestling game WWE 2K23 came out. I played that quite a bit. So I've been having a good week. I've been on a diet, no carbs now for about a month.
That's good.
And I don't really want to punch anybody anymore.
That's also
good. A couple of weeks ago, you could have lined up some Quaker Oats instant oatmeal and I would have took it down like a cocaine guy in the bathroom.
Yeah.
But right about now, we're just chilling. We're eating our eggs and breakfast meat.
Eggs.
Some meat. Keeping the calories low, keeping the belly going down. Which is kind of what it's all about today.
Yeah, exactly. That's all it's all about. And I think I've been at summer, you know, we're officially in spring.
Okay.
It's the, today or yesterday was the spring
March 21st
solstice.
Is the solstice. Is it, winter's a solstice.
Winter is a solstice, and then there's spring where it starts to, like, move into spring. And
what's
then,
the spring thing called, Producer Brian?
Is it the spring solstice?
Is it equinox? It's an equinox.
Pretty sure it's an equinox.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's the spring equinox, and I think that starts either today or tomorrow.
Okay.
But I think that the first official day of spring was yesterday.
Okay. Equinox means it's 12 hours of daytime and 12 hours of nighttime.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so as we're moving in, you know, I'm starting to see, like, a lot of, myself included, people trying to, like, cut down, getting in shape for the summer and all that kind of stuff. So I feel like it was a perfect time for our diet episode.
Diet, weight loss, body shaming, body not shaming.
Yeah.
Fat shaming, not fat shaming.
Skinny shaming.
Gym culture. Thigh gap.
Gym bros. Yeah.
These are all buzzwords we're going to be
heroin
using today.
Heroin chic.
Heroin chic. Is that still a thing? Because it was super popular when
it's
I was...
It's not a thing anymore. It's a thing that's, like, looked badly upon.
Yeah. Because you shouldn't do heroin.
You shouldn't. And you also shouldn't call doing heroin chic.
But that's how good those models made it look.
That's true. That's true. People do coke now.
Oh.
Yeah,
that's a grown-up thing.
Yeah.
So today, our podcast is going to be on weight loss, improving your body, myths, maybe some...
I'm going to disagree with science in this episode.
We're going to disagree with science. Some scams, like diet pill scams, things like that. And at the end, if you follow the link, you can sign up for our 90-day fitness program. And if you can get five other people, you get five other people under you, and you're owning a business now. You run a business by yourself, and then those people each
you're
get five people.
You're an entrepreneur.
Just make sure you're sending out 5, 10, 12, hey girl.
Hey girl. Just wanted to let you know I am starting a new program.
During the podcast, you'll be entertained, and at the end, you become a boss babe.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're doing it right.
A true boss babe, if you will.
So what do we got on the docket?
First on the docket, I wanted to start out with something that is factually accurate, but I disagree with...
Very rare for this podcast.
Yes, very rare. Very rare. Factually accurate, but I disagree with the methodology.
Okay. Is methodology where they have, like, Zeus and Archimedes?
Yeah.
And,
So it's where they get all that. They got Plato and a lion's den. All right. Yeah, all that good stuff. So I wanted to ask you, what percent of people in America do you think are technically obese?
100%.
It's pretty close.
100%.
It's pretty close.
I've been outside. Here's what's rare. I live in Florida, Tampa, Florida.
Yes.
You see some fitness conscious people.
You see some fit people.
You see some fat bastards out there too. But more fitness conscious here.
Yeah.
Midwest.
Everyone's a little
chunky.
In the
Midwest, it's got to be 125% of people.
Yeah, no, it's 70 to 75% of people in America are technically obese.
Is that the nationwide?
Yes, okay. Nationwide. But this is where I disagree on this.
Okay.
Because the number that you get for the obesity, like where that 70% truly comes from, is the BMI.
Okay, so Tom Brady, obese.
The Rock, obese.
Yeah.
You know, even in, like, to give you reference, the BMI is basically having a 5'7" woman who is, let's say, 20 years old.
Okay.
Sitting at between 140 and like 158.
Wow. So, and what I'm saying and you're saying, they should weigh about 110, 115.
Yeah, 110, 115. They don't got to get down to the
slim.
Really
yeah.
Heroin chic.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But
so
no,
you're saying it's too high. That's too high of a weight.
Yeah. No, but it's really inaccurate, and it's literally based off of science from the 50s.
Okay, which is, so far, science from the 50s is pre-moon landing, if you believe the moon landing
if
happened.
If you believe the
it's pre-astronomy.
Yes. What even deeper than that is that it was only used on white people.
Okay.
They didn't base it off of any people of color or how people of color carry weight different.
Yeah.
And as a Hispanic myself, I can very much say that people of color, including myself, carry weight much differently than a typical white girl or
which is
a typical...
weird because white people's opinions carry more weight.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Our opinions are dieted.
Yeah.
We get low-cal opinions.
Yeah.
Snack sized. Our votes are snack sized. Okay, anyways. But yeah, it's based purely off of the average. And this is the thing, too. Is the original BMI, they've updated a little bit since
okay.
then. The original BMI was only based off white men.
Yeah.
And then they were like, hey, we should probably add women. And then they legitimately, and this is where that...
But this is when we first started feeding women.
Yeah,
when
pretty
they came
much.
Out with
yeah,
okay.
yeah, yeah. When they released that update. But this is where that whole idea that women are just smaller versions of men
yes.
kind of comes from is
okay.
because literally what they did is they took, okay, well, if the average 5'11 man should weigh 175 pounds, let's just decrease 20 pounds.
Yeah, just an arbitrary number.
And then they were like, this is good. This yeah. is what women should be. And it was based in almost nothing. And then in the late 90s, they started to, like, actually add in women.
Okay.
But...
I'm glad you said the late 90s.
Yeah.
Instead of the late 1900s. Like some of you Gen Z people refer to
the
late 90s.
1900s.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the late 1900s, about 1994, 1995, they started to readjust the women's
okay.
one. But then they only added a different arbitrary number. They were like, hey, their calculations were only off by like 8 pounds. So they gave you like 8 pounds more of lee room.
Okay.
But then they still didn't take into account. And the other thing, this is my last on this little spiel, is that this hasn't been adjusted for how Americans and what Americans are able to eat.
Okay.
This is still based off of the 50s diet world where they pretty much ate butter, steak, and
sure.
eggs every
and
day.
And then also the weightlifting.
Yeah.
Any sort of weightlifting, any sort of, bodies are bigger now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As well as, I mean, if you look back in the 50s, we didn't have 6'7" elite athletes.
Now, I'm not going to let you completely off the hook.
Okay.
Just because the BMI is not maybe accurate,
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean we are as fat as we've ever been as a society.
No, that's true.
Okay.
That's true. That is true, and I agree with that, but I don't agree with using the BMI as that reference point.
You can use, like in sports, they do it all the time. It's called the eye test.
Yeah.
You can just look. There's measurables. There's body fat
yeah.
percentage.
There's completely better ways to do it than most athletes. I mean, I know a few people that went to college, even at anything from a D1 school to a D3
okay.
school for sports, is they do a complete body composition,
all right.
which is...
So what are better... you're getting into it, so I just want to frame
yeah.
it in a question. What are better measures than BMI for...
So better measurements are to take There's actually one that's newer in development, but it's to take your mom and your dad's measurements of when they were, quote unquote, their fittest.
Okay.
And then to kind of average those out between you, because you are a genetic makeup of your parents. Yes. That one's supposed to be like the at-home version or whatever.
Again, this is like, before you're talking about how it's not fair to people of color, this also not fair to people of color. A lot of them can't find their dads.
I knew it was coming. Yeah. I knew it was coming.
So who are they going to use to measure?
That's why that one's just like a, that one's like the one they go tell kids, like, hey, you want to find out if you're healthy?
Go find your dad. Be like, my dad went to get milk.
Yeah. But, and then, like, the advanced one that I understand why we can't do this. Okay. Actually, I don't understand why we can't do this in doctor's offices. I think that we should.
Okay.
It's a full body composition, which is where they have you stand on basically a flat metal plate.
Okay, like at the airport.
Kind of, yeah. Okay. They have you stand on a flat metal plate, and then a camera, a very advanced camera, swings around the metal plate and scans your entire body.
Okay.
It uses the makeup of the scan, as well as it uses the weight, and it creates what would be roughly your body fat percentage. It creates what your goal body fat percentage is. It bases off how much water weight you have. And so it's a more realistic version because, I mean, at any point in time, people can be carrying 10, 12 pounds of water weight.
And the most important thing, this seems, is it will be catered to each individual.
Yes.
So you can, again, the eye test.
Yes, like part yes.
Of, so BMI is just a chart someone made.
It is.
It's just a chart.
Yeah.
With taking zero mitigating? Is mitigating a word here?
I don't know.
Look that up. What's mitigating mean?
Oh, mitigating was like regulation.
Different. Okay. Any extenuating?
Extenuating circumstances?
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
there
like
we go.
If you're tall. Tom Brady. If you're tall and you're skinny as heck.
Yeah.
You're going to be fine on the BMI.
Yeah. Well, because the way I like to think about
it... Make less severe. So we're mitigating.
Okay, we're mitigating, yeah. Well, the way I like to think about it in the terms of this reference point is, like, when you see different professional athletes, and obviously those are the 1% of the world. Not everyone's going to look like a professional athlete.
I mean, I do, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, good for you. Good for you. But when you see somebody like Kevin Durant...
I look like a professional bowler. You ever seen a good bowler?
When you
bass
look,
fisherman.
When you look at, like, let's say Kevin Durant.
The producer popped in with poker. Poker's athletes, they put it on ESPN.
That's true, they
you
do.
If you tell me I don't have the physique of a poker player, you're a liar.
But the way I like to think about it is if you were to take, I don't know, who's the best offensive lineman in the country?
Let's just go with Kelsey.
Okay, if you took Kelsey,
yeah.
And then you...
That's Travis Kelsey's brother, Jason Kelsey.
Oh, okay,
so
okay.
So he's 8 years running the best center in all of football. Okay.
You take him, you take Giannis,
yeah.
And you take...
What's his last name?
Antetokounmpo. Kumpo. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Okay.
I think.
All right.
I think that's how you say
all
it.
All right.
You take Giannis, you take Kelsey.
Giannis what?
I can't do this anymore. You take Giannis, you take Kelsey, and you take Kevin Durant.
Okay.
They're all going to have completely different body types, but they're all very, very good at their sports, and they're all in incredible shape. And obviously you can tell, like you were saying with the eye test, you can look at these people and be like, wow, you are an insane human.
Yeah.
But I think that for a long time we've always put fitness in this one box, and I don't think that that's necessarily true. And then, you know, to even go more opposite than them, you look at a sumo wrestler.
Yeah.
Sumo wrestlers are some of the strongest people in the world, but you might not think that based on an eye test.
Pound for pound, not really.
Really?
Pound for pound, they're not very strong.
I thought they were, like, extremely strong.
They are not. They're not. Pound for pound, they're not very strong. They get as heavy as they can, so they're hard to move.
Oh.
And when we call them athletes, I've never seen one live past 33 years old.
Oh, God. So. Okay, let's take...
Gabby Douglas is not a sumo wrestler.
She was a
pound for pound. Pound for pound, she's one of the strongest people in the world. Yeah.
For sure.
I think pound for pound. I think Gabby Douglas passes everyone's eye test.
You know who's super strong pound for pound? An ant.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
An ant is very strong.
You take let's say an Olympic shot putter.
Okay.
They're a bit bigger.
Yeah.
They're a bit heavier set, but they're strong.
Man or female?
Either.
Yeah.
They're strong. They're very strong. And so I think that for a long time, fitness has always been, you have to be this body shape or this body type or look this way.
Yeah.
And I think that as science evolves, we should be incorporating how to grow with science instead of being like, hey, look at this chart.
But just also, let me blow a hole or drive a truck right through what you've said.
Okay, please do.
How many fat old people have you seen?
I don't know.
Right?
Well, like in Florida or ever?
Ever.
A few.
Right?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of old people. Not a lot of fat old people. Sure. How many big old people have you seen?
Ooh. Stop.
No,
you
I'm
guys
just saying.
Are both big.
I'm just saying big, fat people don't live long.
Not even fat, but like tall. I see a lot
jacked,
of tall
You
old
see
men.
Any jacked 80-year-old men?
But I don't feel like 80-year-olds get like jacked.
And then you lose it. And
yeah,
you trim
I feel
it
like
down.
They
yeah,
trim
yeah.
it down at
you
least.
Trim it down. But like, so there is something to be said for overall size being bad on your heart.
Yeah, yeah, right. That's true. I mean, look at an extreme case with, like, when people have, like, giganticism.
Yeah.
The whole point is that their heart and organs can't keep up with how big their body's getting. I think LeBron is going to be our jacked 80-year-old. Yeah.
So now, is this still true that maybe not the number one cause of death? Always the number one cause of death is heart failure.
Yes.
Heart disease.
Yes.
Is the number one cause of preventable death still obesity or firearms?
I
know in kids it's firearms, but I'm almost sure in adults the number one cause of preventable death is obesity.
I'm gonna have to look it up.
All right, look it up.
Kill some time
while
for
she's
me.
Looking that up. You can hit me up at
actually okay the top
she's
three,
got it.
The top three leading causes of preventable injury related deaths.
Not injury related deaths.
Oh, okay, injury. Oh, okay, okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Just preventable death.
Preventable death is smoking.
Smoking, okay.
Smoking's outdone them.
Smoking and then obesity?
Smoking and disability? I didn't
keep
know
going,
that was preventable. Hold on, I'm looking at the CDC.
Okay. Because from a preventable death standpoint, obesity is always up there. Mm-hmm. It's going to cause you to get type 2 diabetes. Most of the time you get type 2 diabetes, that's obesity related.
Mm-hmm.
Any sort of poor circulation, any health problem you have, obesity is going to compound it.
Okay, so obesity is second, but smoking has taken in the past 5-10 years.
Okay. Oh, because the people that smoked
are starting to die.
Yeah. Because your age people, it's going to be obesity.
My age people vape.
Well, oh, they do?
So
and that
much.
Vaping's as bad as cigarettes.
So much, yeah. It's actually...
It's as bad as cigarettes.
Yeah, it's worse. It's not even quite a conspiracy. It's just a realistic reality. Is my generation was under 10% was when they
smoking
turned 18
cigarettes?
Was smoking cigarettes.
But now they're vaping?
But then the tobacco company saw this and they started all the vapes. And now like over 60%, we're one of the highest smoking generations, but it's just not typical cigarettes.
Gotcha. And they think it's safe.
I don't think they think it's safe.
Okay.
I mean, I think maybe when people started, they thought, oh, it's safer than a cigarette because you've been constantly told how dangerous cigarettes are for you. But I don't think that people think it's safe anymore because the reality is that it isn't.
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
And it's like...
Well, when you're inhaling something from a computer flash drive...
Dude, seriously.
It's like...
Then on top of that, too, is it's very, like, condensed.
Yeah.
Like, it is a strong and...
So you're probably in your hand holding 2-3 packs of cigarettes or whatever?
Like, 1 Juul is, I believe, the last time I checked, 10 packs of cigarettes.
Geez.
And all people right. go through several.
Wow, geez.
All right.
Hit us on the next point.
Oh, moving on. Moving on in our rants about weight loss is that... do you remember the show Biggest Loser?
Yes.
I used to watch this show.
What was the plot of The Biggest Loser and everything?
Okay, so the plot of The Biggest Loser was they took people who felt very uncomfortable in themselves, who were overweight by most standards, if not all standards.
That you're being very kind.
Being kind?
These are the fattest people I've ever seen.
Oh my god.
That if they didn't go on this show, they were going to be on The Doctor Now. My 600-pound life show. They all had good personalities. Let's be honest. Like
they were, know, they were all they, very good, charismatic so and fun.
You cheered for them.
You liked them.
But they were not just a little overweight. These were people.
I was gonna
say they wanted a good story, so they wanted to bring someone who was very overweight.
I was gonna say the average starting weight was 328 pounds.
Yeah, that's very overweight.
So it was overweight. The average starting weight was 328 pounds. And they would have them go over a course of time. I don't remember the exact specific
time. Sure, it was different every season.
It was different. They'd have them go over a course amount of time and do intense weight loss. Like, in my opinion, not sustainable.
That's where I learned about an ELC. Like, mm-hmm. I always knew what it was, but I never knew the term. It's an extreme low-calorie diet.
Yes.
I've heard it. I knew what they were.
Wouldn't that be an ELCD?
No.
Extreme low-calorie.
What did I say?
Extreme low-calorie diet.
What did I say, though?
ELC.
ELC.
D.
No, I said an ELC diet.
Oh.
You're doing the ATM machine thing.
Oh, I am doing it.
You're doing the ATM machine thing. No, it's an ELC diet. An extreme
ELC
low-calorie diet.
Yeah, and they would have them do extreme weight loss over the course of time. And it was not sustainable, and it was very rigorous, and it was having them eat very, very, very low calories. I think one of the sources I was looking at said the average amount of calories they were intaking was somewhere between like 400 and 800.
Sure, they had a 525 pound, I saw this.
Yeah.
They had a 525 pound guy eating 1080.
Jeez.
His calorie intake was 1080 for a day, and he weighed 525. Now, this is done under medical supervision.
Now, let's also keep in account the average toddler eats 1,200 calories.
But this was done. It was done with medical supervision.
Yeah.
So let's not just say it was zero.
Yeah. It wasn't necessarily responsible.
Each people had a team of doctors.
They were also warned, and they went into it, and they did it willingly. Yeah. And anyways, they would lose weight over the course of time. And then whoever lost the most amount of weight was crowned the biggest loser.
So this is where we got into gamification of losing weight.
Yes, okay. And monetary value.
So you got to combine so many addictions together.
Yes, so many of them. And the average weight was 238 pounds, and the average... Starting was... Oh, I'm sorry, I said 200. I meant 328.
Yeah, all right.
The average starting weight was 328, and the average contestant ended at 210.
Yeah, so they're losing 118 pounds.
118 pounds over...
Whatever weeks,
Whatever weeks. Usually it wasn't very long.
How much of that stayed off? Over time.
Now, about 70% of people on The Biggest Loser regained 80 to 100% of
their weight. Almost all of them gained all of it back.
The only people that I could find in my limited research was people that were already in shape before they gained the weight. So think high school and college athletes.
They had a past of being fit.
Yes.
Let it get out of hand.
Yes.
And then got fit again.
One of the most famous...
They got refit.
You're right. One of the most famous ones was this girl who... She had done sports in high school, in college, and after.
Okay.
And then she had like a leg injury of some kind. She gained up to 280.
Oh, geez.
And on the show, lost back to 180.
Nice.
And then... Few years after the show, she went back down to 160, which is what she
was
in college.
She got an even better shot.
So she got an even better shot. And that was the rarest one that I was able to find.
An Olympic gold medal wrestler on there before. He had gotten hurt and gotten depressed, ballooned up, and then he got himself into
those are pretty much the only cases of the people that I could
people
find.
People who were in shape and then got back into shape.
And even
that makes
with,
the most sense.
Yeah, and even with the girl, she had only weighed the 280 or whatever for less than 2 years.
Okay, so it's okay.
Yeah, so it wasn't even a sustained. Yeah, it was a very quick, grow up and then a very quick go down.
Okay, so in summation. It was a game show.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it was a reality TV
show. I think we all kind of know the flash diets, crash diets, things like that, where you're losing 70, 100 pounds in the course of a few weeks, few months.
Yeah.
Almost all the time you're going to get that back?
Yes. Okay. Almost. And about, I mean, honestly, I would say, and this is me coming up with my own statistic, I would say if you took every single person in America who's tried a crash diet, statistically 100% have failed.
Sure.
like, so you know, because it's like, because like what, 0.5% have succeeded?
And there's a whole industry.
Yeah.
Based on promising you that fast result.
Yes.
Promising you fast results without.
Yes, yes.
Any exercise or anything like that. You won't even have to stop what you're eating. This food, this pill will block the fat in your...
Yeah.
This pill will speed your metabolism. This pill will make you not hungry. This pill will make you burn fat faster. This pill will give you energy to exercise. Yeah. So there's a whole industry based on giving people that fast result.
Yeah.
And even if the pills work, if they give them that fast result, it's not going to sustain. But the pills don't work, right?
The pills do not work. Okay. The pills are... And I know exactly what you're referring to. There was in... I want to say 2010 to 2014, there was a company, it was called Fit Detox Tea, okay. And it had everyone in a chokehold. I'm talking every single influencer, the Kardashians posted about it, and in this point, they weren't the Kardashians yet, but they were on their way up. They were still very big, and it basically, the whole idea was that if you took their pills and you drank their tea, you'd lose 30 pounds in a month,
okay,
and you'd be perfectly good, and later, they got into this huge lawsuit about it because all it turned out all their teas were was basically low-grade laxatives.
Yeah, nice.
So they had you drinking like three or four of these teas every day.
Oh,
and
man.
It was just a laxative.
Yeah.
And then it had you taking these pills, and these pills were literally just condensed caffeine.
Okay.
So you were taking, like, if you took two pills, which was the recommended. Now, people were desperate. And we're like, oh, it's gonna help me lose weight. It's gonna help me lose weight. And we're taking more and like having heart attacks. Two pills was like 600 grams of caffeine.
And what's the normal daily? What's the normal daily intake? And what's the high end for dangerous of caffeine?
So really, doctors don't recommend anything over like 300 grams of caffeine in a day.
Okay.
And that is like dangerously
it's
high.
300 mg's or whatever.
300
like, micrograms.
Mg's. Micrograms. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I say grams. It's simplified.
Well, because 1 gram will kill you.
Yes. Yes.
One gram will kill you.
1 gram would murder you. Yeah. It's micrograms. Okay. Mg's. And
milligrams
the...
or micrograms?
Milligrams. We're just making.
Karate Brian
stuff.
Over here says milligrams.
Milligrams. The recommended is really as little as you can have.
Okay. Yeah, caffeine, none.
Yeah,
ideally
caffeine
zero.
Is caffeine
yeah.
is but if they
it's a drug.
Yes, it yeah. is. And if they tell you that if you are gonna take caffeine, then you should have like a cup of coffee or something like that, or a shot of espresso. Like 60 to 80 milligrams of caffeine
okay.
is like a safe amount.
Yeah, there's 55 or so in a 12-ounce Mountain Dew.
Yes.
Or something like that. So
And even
but now
like,
these Monster Energy drinks have 140. Some of them have 240.
Yeah, and I mean, and I am a problem. I have way too much caffeine. But even like your typical Starbucks drink, if you were to get a venti mocha,
okay,
and you got it cold, it's gonna have three. Caffeine, three so shots of 120, espresso.
180, something
so
like
120, 180, and people don't even realize how much caffeine they're consuming. Yeah. But yeah, and so basically, the whole idea of these diet pills, and pretty much every diet pill on the market is just low grade Coke.
Yeah.
They
back in the day, even this isn't new.
Yeah.
It's a new product, but the same thing. The old school.
Mm-hmm.
Diet pill just always had it was just loaded you up with caffeine.
Yeah.
Just loaded you up with caffeine.
And that's all it really is. And the idea is that it gets your heart going faster, which makes your body go faster, which burns more calories.
Now there was a banned one that worked.
Oh no.
And it didn't work. They didn't ban it because it worked. I'm gonna tell ephedrine.
That was what they gave kids with ADHD.
They give it to people with asthma.
Oh.
It's a lung and asthma drug.
Oh.
And people were putting it with caffeine, a little caffeine,
yeah.
and aspirin.
Oh.
And it was very effective in losing weight, but the amount that was effective to lose weight and the amount that would stop your heart were too close to each other.
Oh.
So if you took a little too
That's
much...
That's dangerous.
Professional baseball player from the Baltimore Orioles dropped dead.
Oh, no.
Taking it off. His heart stopped. Now, many people did. So they banned the drug ephedrine just in general.
There's another one. I gotta look it up. I forgot the name of it. There is another one I gotta tell you about that's really... Ozempic. That is what it's called.
Ozempic. That's the new one.
That's the new one.
It was a diabetic drug.
Yes, it was a diabetic drug.
And then now rich people are taking it.
Yes.
To lose weight.
Yes, because
it curbs the appetite.
Yeah, it curbs your appetite. It increases your heart rate a little bit.
Yeah.
And it makes your...
I know a comedian whose wife I worked with.
Yeah.
He's currently taking Ozempic. And his best friend ratted him out for taking Ozempic.
Oh, no. Well, no, because... It's it was this really big scandal. There's a lot of celebrities all of a sudden who are just dropping
That's
weight.
What his friend said. His friend said, what do you think? All of a sudden he found discipline?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. They're just dropping weight all of a sudden. Yeah.
And they even, they market it.
They do. They literally do. It's one of those things that's just
not
realistic.
Gonna have to pay for that song.
Oh my God. Oh no. it's one of those things that's realistically... It's just not, it's not gonna long term.
Of course not.
Fix it, but if you are rich and have the ability to have this drug, you also have the ability to likely have personally catered meals and
a nutritionist
a personal
looking
trainer,
over it. A doctor, and a trainer.
Exactly. Like. You have all of these other resources that go into it, and so, you know, then you drop 30 pounds, it's really easy to keep it off when you don't even make your food or diet. And so... It's just, it's not realistic for the average person, and it's one of those things now that people are, like, fiending over because they want the miracle drug.
Yeah. So we kind of leaned in, we started into the dark side.
Yes.
On the back half of the brink, we're going to talk about some positive and negative.
Yes.
It's going to be mostly the body image.
Yes.
Body shaming and all that, but...
Yeah, we've talked about the diet side.
People going to the gym... Mm-hmm. That can be extremely positive and uplifting.
Yes.
There's a lot of, even really in great shape men will have, because a lot of people associate anorexia, bulimia, things like that with females.
Yes.
And it's still predominantly
is.
So I don't want to.
It is.
But there's young men lifting weights with extreme eating disorders.
Yes.
So
very much so.
On the back half of this break, we'll talk some eating disorders. But most importantly, we're going to talk about getting in the gym, gym culture,
gym
and things
culture.
Like that. So I can think of no one better to bring on the show than a man who's been making waves in gym culture, changing gym culture. He's going to explain to us the positivity of the gym. After the break, we bring on from TikTok, from Instagram, none other than Joey Swole will be with us on the second half of the break. They say you're not supposed to take the towels. They want you to take the towels. I don't want to read you. Oh, sorry. We're back on. Little miscommunication. Joey Swole, nice guy. I reached out to him. I was like, hey, come on the podcast. We both have somewhere in the range of, you know, we got followers in the 6 range. He's like, oh, yeah, we'll come on and do it. Turns out he thought we meant the same amount of viewers. He's got the 6 million range. I'm in the 6,000 range. He thought we'd give each other a bump. This was going to be a big time one-way bump. No hard feelings.
Wasn't
I get
great
it.
Great for us.
I get it. It was a miscommunication. So no Joey Swole.
No Joey Swole.
On the second half of the podcast. We will, though, be talking about...
Still go follow Joey Swole on TikTok.
Still follow Joey. Yeah. If you're following us, you're following him.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. There's a lot of layover.
A lot of crossover between myself and Joey Swole. Maybe the nicest guy.
Super nice guy.
Nicest guy with 20-inch biceps out there. Great guy.
Yeah. Him and The Rock.
Him and The Rock. But second half of the show, not trying to be Debbie Downers, but a little bit of Debbie Downers. We're going to talk about eating disorders a little bit. Not in the...
Trigger warning.
Well, no, because we're not going to actually talk about, like, we're not going to talk about someone with an eating disorder
That's
and what
true.
They went through
That's
and everything
true.
Like that.
That's true.
But it can still be a trigger warning. Or what's the CW?
Content warning.
Okay.
Content warning. If you don't want to hear about calories.
We'll just talk about in general that they're going to have like people with eating disorders and things like that and try and make that funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As funny as we can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know about, you know, binge and purge eating. I don't know.
Yeah.
It sounds funny. Binge and purge.
It does kind of sounds a little
like
comical.
Now that sounds like the most hilarious eating disorder you could have. Binge and purge eating. What do you suffer from? It's binge and purge eating. Like that. Kind of rhymes. What are you? All right. Gym culture.
Gym bros.
People throwing their fitness regimen in your face and saying that's what you should do. All that sort of stuff. What's going to lead us off?
I wanted to lead off with a strong one. One that I have noticed firsthand.
Are you passionate about this?
I am.
I like it.
And I even have a catchy intro for it.
Okay, hit us.
Discipline versus disordered.
D&D. People playing D&D at home.
But I would like to touch on that.
Hold on, let me reframe it.
Okay.
Because we're going to talk about it. You're going to talk about, for the next few, discipline versus disorder. What do you think? What are you going to weigh them versus each other? Like, you're going to say this is a discipline, this is a disorder.
When does it crush?
Gotcha.
When does discipline turn into disorder?
Gotcha. Okay.
Because I wanted to talk about how, you know, when you see these people who are, in the most extreme cases, they're training for, you know, professional bodybuilding competitions.
Okay.
And in the less extreme cases, they're trying to look good for their spring break.
So someone who's disciplined is getting up at 6, they're like, all right, I'm going to get up at 6 every morning. Sometimes it's 6:10.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
they're getting
exactly.
up and they're doing the exercise. And they're doing the best they can with their diet.
Yeah, and they're counting their calories.
They're not obsessive over it.
They're not obsessive.
But they're doing the best they can.
Yes.
And they're sticking to it.
Yes, and
so that's
discipline. And I think at the root of it, what discipline really is knowing yourself, knowing your limits, and doing what you feel comfortable pushing yourself to do.
Okay.
If that means that you can do another rep or add another 10 pounds that day, that's what that means for you.
If someone offers you cheesecake dessert and you pass up on it.
Yeah.
That's discipline.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what discipline can mean to people.
I got you.
But I also think that there's a very thin line that is often overlooked.
How dare you? Very thin line.
What?
You're saying these people should be thin?
Oh my God. I think there's a very thin line that's often overlooked in, especially like gym culture, is how fast that self-discipline can turn into an eating disorder and eating disorder behaviors or just disordered in general. Because that I am getting up at 6 a.m., can turn into I have to be up at 6 a.m. or I'm not allowed to eat that day.
Gotcha.
Or it can turn into I'm going to have chicken and rice for lunch because the macros are good, turning into I'm going to measure out to the rice gram, half a cup of rice, and unseasoned chicken.
Have you be like, I've seen it written on a meme.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're like, don't eat my lunch. I have 6 shrimp and 4,000
Exactly. Exactly. Well, I've even seen like people on the most extreme of not even seasoning their food because it has, you know,
white people,
they're used to it. It's back to their race.
They'll see a gym bro cutting weight and they'll be like, man, you're eating your chicken like a white person.
But not even add any seasoning to it because they're like, well, it has the sodium or whatever.
In the chicken.
Yeah. Which I would say if you are a professional athlete and you are 48 hours from a weigh-in or a cut or a competition, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But if you're doing this on a day-to-day life,
it's not sustainable.
It's not sustainable. It's not realistic. And even if you have been doing it for forever, it's just not enjoyable.
Even The Rock, a day a week, eats a tall stack of pancakes.
Yeah, and his job, his professional job is to keep that in shape.
Yeah.
Most people do. Yeah, what?
The French toast from The Rock.
Oh, the
Rock French toast?
Producer's talking about The Rock French toast.
So even he's disciplined.
Yeah.
And then he realizes I need to be a human real quick.
Yes, exactly. And most people.
So he's not obsessed.
Yes. And most people, I'd say that there's different various levels of discipline.
Okay.
And The Rock is probably at one of the highest levels. Most people do not need to be at that high of a level.
No, man. A lot of you are accountants. You know what I'm saying? A lot of you are school teachers.
Yeah, exactly.
Working at a business.
Exactly.
Like, it's fine if you get, you know, if you want to be 180 and you're 183, you're probably okay.
You're okay.
Shirt's still going to fit.
You're all right. Yeah, you're good. And I think that there's a lot of pressure, and I've even seen this on, I had friends in high school that were like 15, 16-year-old boys on the wrestling team cutting weight. And
yeah.
I'm like,
well,
that's,
they have to.
They have to because they have to meet the weight to wrestle. But
yeah.
I'm like, man, this is going to have long-term effects on you later in life. But yeah, no, and you see these people who are like, well, I need to get in shape for the summer. I need to lose this weight. And it's like, well, why? You know, why do you have to literally make your life miserable to the point where you're not fulfilling or enjoying yourself?
Okay.
Because you're trying to get down to this number
on the scale. Now, you're
talking
about non-athletes,
non-professional athletes.
Because the professional athletes, the competitors, they have to put themselves through it.
Yes, and even that's like 48 hours out.
Yeah.
That's like 72 to 48 hours out from making that weight.
You know those, I happen to go to college with one.
Yeah.
The, like, competitive bodybuilders.
Yeah.
On stage, they're close to death.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not like, oh man, they could have died. I'm talking about they're close to death.
Yes.
They've taken so many pills to make themselves pee.
Yes.
They are dehydrated.
Yes.
They are, so.
Their kidneys are failing.
Kidneys are failing. They're, yes. They're in kidney failure. Yes. While they're up there.
Yeah, there's so many videos that you'll see, especially now with like people who are large influencers and they do these bodybuilding competitions. They talk about kind of the reality of it, that when they come off the stage and they give them like an apple, they're literally like crying.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not even joking, they're crying.
Yeah, because to get that cut thing, you can't have water. You can't
have any water weight.
Like, they haven't had salt in a week.
No. Oh, and they're literally like sobbing over these really mundane foods. Or I remember this one girl, she tried to drink 12 ounces of water.
Couldn't even get it down.
She threw it up.
Yeah.
She threw it up. And I was like, oh my gosh. And that's where I'm like, okay, you know, like
so this is where, even though it's high-end elite, That still trickles into disorder.
Yeah. Just because it's a high-end elite, that doesn't mean... And yes, I understand that these people do prep time and they don't keep this going forever. And this isn't like always a long-term thing. But, and I'm not blaming them for this. I'm not blaming bodybuilders for this. But young people, and I mean young in a very wide sense. I'm talking like anyone from 12 to 25.
Yeah,
yeah. 12 to 25, they see this and they're like, well, if they can do that, then I can do lose the 10 pounds or lose the 15 pounds or whatever. But you have to remember, these people have, like, they have nutritionists, they have scientists, they have doctors, they have all these people who are on their team helping them get to that goal. And it's just not healthy for a typical person to do this.
Yeah. So I'm going to bring something up in the realm of disorder, discipline.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to bring up a third D.
Okay.
Delusion.
Delusion.
It goes both ways.
Yes.
There are people, I don't know if this is a medical term or not. Body dysmorphia? Is that the correct term?
Yeah.
Okay. And it can work in multiple ways.
Anyway.
The skinny person can think they're fat.
Yes.
The jacked person can think he's got no muscles. So the delusion works multiple ways. It works, it can be dangerous.
Yes.
There can be,
I even fall for this.
Yeah.
I will know my exact measurements and size and go on the store and be like, I think I need a 4X. And then be surprised when it doesn't fit.
And this is, in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
by design.
Yes.
Everything out there wants your money.
Yes.
The gym wants your money.
Yep.
The clothing people want your money. So I feel like this is due to in unreachable standards of beauty.
Yes.
Because even when you see a fitness model on a magazine, they're airbrushed
They're
photoshopped to no end.
And we
they
recently
got the best picture they could of this person.
Yes.
And then edited the picture. So it can lead to delusion. Like, you look in the mirror and you don't see what's there. You see what you're afraid of.
And I think a lot of people honestly fall victim to this, as well as I think that social media in general has curated, and I know me personally, let's say I am going to post a picture.
Yeah.
I have 700 pictures and I pick three.
Okay.
Well, that I like.
You're chilling at 0.5%.
And I have three that I like. And that's what every single person I know does.
So now you just brought into, those stakes are even raised.
Yeah.
Okay. Because before it was models, actresses, and things like that, putting the pressure on young females.
Yeah.
Now it's even each other.
And that's...
Because you can filter a picture. Mm-hmm. You can take a different picture from a different angle, different lighting. So it's not even reality.
Yes, and that's what I was going to...
It's each other and famous.
That's what I was going to get into, was that It's so easy when, I mean, it's not easy, but it's easier when you have these unrealistic people that are on the cover of magazines. Let's say the most famous model in the world, the Hadid sisters.
Okay.
You have them and you're like, wow, they look amazing. Well, someone can reassure you and be like, well, it's edited, you know, and you're like, and they've been curated to look like that over years. And you're like, okay. And then you go scroll on your social media and you go scroll on your page and you look at your friends and your family and these people who grew up in the same town as you, people that you know are not famous and curated, people that you know are not doing these things, and you're like, well, they look amazing, how come I don't look like that? They look phenomenal, why don't I look like that? Why don't I feel like that? And so that kind of thing. And so I think that it adds a whole new level of pressure, like you were saying, where I mean, me personally, I can account for this, and everyone I know does this. You take 500 or 600 pictures, and then you're like, I like these three because the lighting was flattering, the angle was flattering, the way that the picture was taken was flattering, and then you add, you know, a filter. And I personally only add, like, lighting filters. There is a whole... Jeez.
There's a whole bevy, huh?
You can edit videos now.
I am a 43-year-old,
mm-hmm.
overweight, balding white man. Do you hear me?
Yes.
I am a 43-year-old, overweight, balding man.
Yes.
When I need to post a picture on Instagram or Facebook, I need to post one picture.
Mm-hmm.
How many pictures do you think I take?
One.
One picture. I take the one picture, I look at it, I'm like, send it, and I go. If the world could have the confidence of a mediocre white man,
yeah, you've said this before.
For a day.
Yeah, you've said this before.
Yeah.
I would love for you to not even necessarily me, just any teenage girl.
Yeah.
Just be able to see yourself. Well, actually, maybe not yourself.
I've been a teenage boy.
That's true.
It's pretty bad.
That's true.
It's pretty bad. Yeah.
But to be fair, you were a very in shape teenage boy.
That's true.
A very popular,
loved. Everybody liked me. Everybody wanted to be my best friend. So maybe I didn't have the experience of some of these Dungeons and Dragons dorks. We're going with the 3D model again. Dungeons and Dragons dorks. And these nerds, these school shooter types.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Maybe I
should. But no, I'm talking like you were very much in shape by all accounts. You were popular. You were literally captain of the football team.
And pretty much the... Like, my picture's up in the hallway leading to the gym. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I get what you're saying. You can keep saying it because I like it.
It was, what, the 80s or the 90s?
All right, thank you.
Was it the 80s
It was
the
not
90s?
The 80s.
90s?
Yes.
90s.
The late 1900s.
Okay, the late 1900s.
No, but I get what you...
You
do
were
understand.
The archetype.
I do understand what you're saying.
Yes. And so I think that, like, And, I mean, building off of that... and building off of, like, the whole image and things like that, I think it's really funny, and this goes both ways, when people tell you what you should look like.
Elaborate on that.
So, like, let's say you have, you know, someone who's been working out for the last 10 years.
Okay.
They're ripped beyond belief. They have 3% body fat. They're in the best shape by all accounts, and they're like, you know, you would just be happier if you looked more like me.
Ah.
And you're just like, I just don't think
Projecting,
exactly.
They're like, I need to be validated that all of this does make people happy.
Yes,
I need to validate that what I've done and what I've chosen to done for happiness, I'm using air quotes, will also work for other people. And that's the only way to be happy.
Yes.
Okay.
And this goes, I've seen this honestly... Every single body type in the world, I've seen people that are very small, people are very large, people that are in shape, people that are in mediocre shape. I mean, every single body type, I've seen people just be like, well, if you looked more like me, you'd probably be happier.
Yeah.
Because I've seen it go the other way, too, with, like, let's say a bigger person.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I get to eat what I want and not stress about the macros, so I think you'd be happier if you looked like me.
Here's my take on the fat.
Like your hot take?
My hot take on the mega fat. When you see the mega fat, like, I'm talking 300-400 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
You hate to see the one where they hate them, because they'll never dig themselves out if they're self-loathing. Yeah. Because they've done a horrible thing to themselves.
Yeah, and I think this is just a little bit of a cutoff. I think the most important thing to anyone's journey to be healthy mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally is that at every single point in time, no matter what your body looks like, you still have to give yourself and show yourself love.
Yes.
You can't hate yourself at any point in time, or you will never be happy with the results.
Correct. That's what exactly what I was getting at. When you're heavy and unhealthy and depressed, I think we've made it to a point where no one's piling on and saying, "You fatty, look at this fat." Like, we've just learned not to do that.
Yeah, I hope. If you're still doing that, man.
Like, fat shaming is like someone who thinks they're not fat.
Yeah.
Or, like, there's a singer that catches a lot of it. And the whole fat is beautiful, I guess I'm fine with. But if you're fat and happy with yourself, you eventually won't be fat.
Yeah.
Look at the Adele.
Yeah.
Look at, if you're, and that's the only way. You're never going to lose the weight through disdain and disgust with yourself. If you love yourself, you'll start treating yourself like you love yourself.
Yeah.
And then you'll lose some weight. But the whole idea of I'm fat and I'm healthy, it's just not true. You might be healthy right now because you're young.
Yeah.
You're kidding yourself if you wouldn't be healthier, skinnier. Not skinnier, with less weight near your heart.
Okay, I can get down to that.
You would be healthier.
But I do want to make the difference of not everyone's skinny or less weight is the same.
No, of course.
Because I think, like,
now you're falling back into
the BMI.
Yeah, you don't have to fall into the BMI, but just a little bit healthier.
Yeah, exactly.
Just a little healthier tomorrow than you were today.
Like, you can go for a walk comfortably.
Yes.
And you choose 80. I like the 80-20 rule personally. Okay. Of like 80% of the time you choose heart healthy, good foods.
Fantastic.
20% of the time you let yourself have whatever you feel like.
And,
you know,
and most people aren't gonna fall well short of that.
Yeah.
But just
and yeah, I just don't.
And now we're gonna get into the discipline delusion or discipline. What's the discipline and
disorder. The discipline disorder.
Now you definitely don't want someone to be obsessed. Like
yeah.
But
because I don't
always leaning towards being healthier tomorrow than you were today.
Yes, because I strongly agree that everyone should be. I think everyone should be mentally healthy, emotionally, physically, healthy in every way possible. And I think that it's a difference in what that looks like for everyone. I also this is a little bit controversial. I don't feel like forcing people. If people do not want to be healthy, and I mean that in every single sense, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, anything, any sense of the word, if people do not want to be healthy, I will never tell them they have to be or force them to be.
But you're just trying to help.
I don't really care.
When do you try to help someone like that?
When they ask me for help.
When they ask you for help.
When people ask me for help with anything.
Yeah.
I am big on
unsolicited advice, unsolicited comments have never helped anyone ever.
Yeah. I'm big on crystals and meditation and self-love and things like that, but I'm never going to tell someone, "You're just not spiritually very healthy."
I just called them fat because I wanted them to not be fat anymore. Like, you call them fat because there's something in you that you needed to make yourself feel better calling someone fat.
Which also, something I want to see kind of like go away, and I think it's starting to, is I feel like there's such a negative connotation with the word fat.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
I feel like, okay.
Fat people still use the word fat to describe themselves.
I know.
So
no,
they're
no,
taking
no.
it back like the N-word.
I'm not saying that you
shouldn't.
Don't
take this from us fats.
Oh my God.
Let us call ourselves fat.
I'm not saying that people shouldn't say that they're fat or anything like
that.
But
you are saying they should use the N-word.
No, my God, no.
Okay.
I'm saying that fat shouldn't be described as ugly.
But it is.
No.
But it is.
No,
ugly.
It's not.
Yes, it
That's
is.
That's just not true. I don't think fat equals ugly.
Okay.
Because every single person's version of the word fat is different.
Okay.
So I don't think that just because someone calls you fat, that that should mean they're also calling you ugly. Or, like, if somebody is fat, that doesn't mean that by default they're ugly. Or, like, vice versa.
But if they were ugly, they were going to be ugly whether or not they're fat.
Exactly. Ugly is ugly no matter what.
I'm on your team.
Skinny people can be ugly, too.
I'm on your team.
Exactly. Well, and, like, also, like, I mean, even how we were talking about Lizzo.
Okay.
Lizzo's beautiful.
I said that singer.
That singer. Singer.
Yeah.
That singer is beautiful, gorgeous, wonderful woman.
Genetically.
Would have been gorgeous no matter what her body looks like. She still is. And I think that there's like this huge connotation, especially on like, as we're seeing some of these like heroin
chic. But here's the problem with that. Pretty, beautiful, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But people will lie to you and tell you, oh, that's healthy. That's healthy to be that big like that.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a problem.
Yeah.
Because is she fine now, healthy now? Probably.
Mm-hmm.
We're lying to ourselves if we're not saying would be healthier with less weight on.
Yeah, yeah. And
but not to the point where you're obsessing over.
Yeah, exactly. Not to the point where you're like wanting to like kill yourself every day because of it. Because
full disclosure, the beginning of March I was fat as I've ever been.
Okay.
And I've been on a pretty good diet for a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't track it. Because I plan to do it for a long, long time.
Yes.
And I work out, but I don't, if I miss a workout, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
But if I can get really, I can tap dance that line between discipline and disorder.
Yeah, disorder.
Like, I can be like, I have to eat at 1 p.m.
Yes.
And it has to be this.
Yes.
And right now I'm in the discipline part of it. And I hope to stay in the discipline part of it. Because you'd be very happy disciplined.
Yes.
Discipline is good for you.
Discipline is good, yes.
Discipline's great for you. Disorder's not good for you.
No, disorder is not. And the other thing I wanted to just say about that was with the whole, like, the fat and the beauty connected and all that kind of stuff is a big example I see of it is a lot of these early 2000s who were, like, the heroin chic models of the time are now gaining what I would personally say a healthy amount of weight because their organs aren't shutting down anymore because they weigh so little.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they still will get called fat, or they'll be like they're packing on pounds, or they're so much fatter than they were now. But I don't like that rhetoric because that is their version of healthier. Healthier doesn't always mean losing weight. In some cases, it can be gaining weight or gaining muscle or gaining strength or gaining these kind of things. And so as they're sitting here calling them fat, 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 with the connotation of it being ugly, I don't agree with that.
So
because
fat, yeah.
They're still beautiful. They're beautiful models, beautiful people, beautiful souls, you know, all of that kind of thing. And they don't deserve to
get... So fat does not equal ugly.
No, fat does not equal ugly.
Oftentimes equals smelly, though.
What?
A lot of fat, smelly people.
Oh, my God.
No, I was just throwing it over.
Yeah.
Let me try and sum it up.
Okay.
Do your best.
Yes.
Love yourself.
Every day.
Do yourself. Don't treat yourself poorly.
Yes.
There's a lot of times a saying I've heard out there. If other people, like if when you're doing poor to yourself, when you're into drugs and you're, you know, eating too much and you're just not treating yourself well, someone will say, like, if someone else treated you the way you treated yourself, you'd punch him in the nose.
I like to say, would you treat the childhood version of yourself that way?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So treat yourself good, love yourself. You like to lift weights? Go to the gym, lift weights.
Yeah.
You want to be buff? Get buff.
Get buff.
You want to be fat? Try your best to keep your heart healthy.
Yeah.
Love yourself. Stay out of other people's business. That's the most important one, to stay out of other people's business.
Yeah. Mind your business.
It's right between your feet here. We dropped the end. It's between your feet. I see it.
Oh.
We dropped a pen that basically runs the show. We have a computer screen. We write things out. So right now I'm just going to talk from the heart. Look, fat people disgust me. And
oh,
I just wish they were less fat. Oh, we're back. We're back to... no, we sum it up. Do the best you can every day.
Yes.
Try to be healthier tomorrow than you were today in all aspects.
Love yourself at every single point.
I like that you started this segment with probably the most important thing. Discipline versus delusion. You're going to want to lean on the discipline side.
And not go into the disordered.
Don't go into the disordered.
That's dangerous.
It was discipline disorder.
It was. Discipline disorder delusion.
Now let's lighten things up.
Okay.
As we close. We're going to forego.
Forego.
The 6 degrees of Brian Aldridge.
Yeah.
Because you guys don't know what a celebrity is.
I don't.
So, you don't know what a movie star is.
I'm connecting you to Alex Earl, who in the world is that?
You're like, this guy who was the producer on one of Drake's songs. Okay. I'm talking movie stars, Tom Cruise's, the crazy people. We've got a game.
Yeah.
I see a crazy person's drawing. But I'm told you know exactly what this game is.
I do. So this is...
So hold on. Set the game for us.
I'm going to, if you'd let me talk.
That's what a host does. I say, set the game for us. And then the listeners listen to what you're going to say next.
Okay. Well, now we have to do it again.
All right. So at the end, we're going to lighten things up. We're going to play a little game.
Okay.
So Carlina, set the game up for us.
All right. So the game is based on something that was in a Physical 100 show, which is a new popular show on Netflix.
So we're not afraid to copy things here on the Family Bible podcast?
Well, they did it in real life. We're doing it theoretically. It's a Korean show, and it was the top 100 most physical people in Korea.
Okay.
Did challenges, whatever, whatever.
Right.
Anyways, go watch the show on Netflix. The whole point of the challenge is that you have to pick 10 people to move a boat that weighs 2,000 pounds.
Okay. 1.5
tons. 1.5
tons.
3,000
pounds.
100 pounds.
Okay.
Anyways, so you have 1.5 tons you have to move.
Okay.
The whole point is it's a boat over sand. We are going to draft pick.
I'm going to let you pick any 10 you want.
Okay.
And then I'll pick mine.
Okay, I like that.
Go first.
So my end, you have to move it about 100 feet.
Gotcha. Go ahead.
My 10 people, I'm going to choose The Rock.
Okay. I knew you would. See, that's why. Because you don't know any of the strongest men in the world's names.
I don't know their names.
Magnussen was one.
Let me get
go
there?
Ahead. Take
Braun Strowman.
Yeah, take all 10. Braun Strowman, the wrestler. He's the big guy that's not as big as the big guy.
Yeah, but he's very strong.
But your list is still looking pretty good.
Can I give me one?
Yeah.
Eddie Hall.
And then we're going to go ahead and give me Kelsey, the lineman? The lineman?
No, you don't want him.
I don't want him?
You don't want professional football players?
I don't want professional football players?
No. Well, you can.
They're pretty strong.
Yeah, they're pretty strong. Okay, go ahead. I won't stay in your way. Keep going.
Man, I don't know.
Keep naming people.
Do you know, like, everything, like, do you know what they're doing?
Yeah.
They're moving this boat. It's on, it's over sand, but there's like logs underneath them.
There's logs underneath the boat, so it will roll.
It will roll.
They have to get it up a ramp.
They gotta have layer strength.
All right, so we're looking at, you gotta push it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You gotta push or pull the boat.
And you got 10 people to do it.
You got 10, and then they gotta push it up a ramp. And hook it on top of the ramp.
You're gonna need some fat people for this.
I know. All right, give me, man, I really don't know anyone. Give me, you know, just as our celebrity, give me Joey Swole.
Joey Swole, put him in there. Just keep firing.
Put him in there for fun.
Zion Williamson.
Gotcha.
He might be
the strongest guy in the NBA.
When he was 300 pounds.
I know who is the strongest man in the NBA. I'm gonna give him a turn. Steven Adams.
Yeah. Never the ones that look like they're going to be the strongest. Yeah.
He's the strongest by far. NBA. Yeah.
Give me Steven Adams. Give me...
I'll let you... You got 7, 8, 9, 10?
I got... No.
7, 8, 9, 10. You have four more left?
That's what I'm saying. I have, but I don't have people.
Any four NFL... The strongest four NFL offensive linemen.
Just say that.
That's okay. 7, 8, 9, 10.
Okay.
The strongest four...
Top linemen.
Okay.
So now, recap.
You're pulling some weight. Go ahead.
Recap. I got The Rock, Braun Strowman, Eddie Hall, Joey Swole, Zion Williamson, Steven Adams, and the top four linemen in the country.
Okay. So listen to who she just picked. And then I want you in the comments to this podcast, say whose team would win.
I'm scared.
You have those 10. Run through them real quick again.
All right. So from the top, I got The Rock, Braun Strowman, Eddie Hall, Joey Swole, as our celebrity guest, he had to be on there, Zion Williamson, Steven Adams, and the top four linemen in the country.
Okay. I have Charles Norris.
Don't know who that is.
He can lift it by himself.
And I'm the winner.
There you go.
Oh, everybody.
Oh, I know who that is. Yeah, I got it. Chuck Norris.
We're going to 10-1 this. 10-1. Tell us in the comments who you think is going to win.
Chuck Norris. Simple. So, I tried.
So, I like how we went today.
Yeah.
The beginning, we talked about, you know, some stuff. The back end, we talked about some stuff. Sometimes it got a little heated.
A little aggressive.
As far as weight loss go, people out there struggling, can you, Carlina, give us a sincere pep talk for someone who's struggling?
I just want you to remember.